The first reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2. A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one whose light shines through us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Diet Coke has come out with what I think is a very interesting commercial. Didn't expect that to start, did you? Now, I'm not a big commercial TV watcher. Usually we spend most of our time in, like, Netflix and whatnot, but with Olympics and the Super Bowl and everything else, I've watched a little more regular TV. But anyways, the commercial in this series, Because I Can, pun intended, because they have a can, Because I Can, is this. There's these two commercials out there, and one of them really drew my attention. The actress is walking around casually with her Diet Coke, just talking about you being you. "If you want to live in a yurt it up," she says. "If you want to run a marathon, while that might be hard, run a marathon." And so on and so forth. She goes on to say, "Just do you." Which this is what caught my attention. Just do you. I think it's rather catching slogan, to which they end, because I can. Now, there's no doubt there's definitely commercialization going on in this ad, trying to promote, help you see your life being incomplete without this Diet Coke, to motivate you and move you to be you. But I think there's something more deeply theological that we can interpret from this "just do you." In our Hebrew text this morning, we hear of the story of Elijah and Elijah. I'll try to articulate that, pronunciate that clearly. Elijah and Elijah. It's this big transition from the great prophet Elijah to his predecessor Elijah. And it's of out-of-world proportions. They travel, they end up crossing the Jordan in a similar fashion to both Joshua and Moses. And there they stand when Elijah is taken up into the heavens by a whirlwind, by God. An out-of-this-world experience. Now, while this is a very fascinating story, I think there's something and more below this that we need to talk about this morning. Elijah and Elijah were both great prophets. Elijah much more well known, I think, as he's referenced throughout Scripture more. But both were people of God. Both were prophets of God. Both had a very difficult task. And both carried out great acts, similar to ones that we would later see through Jesus. But also proclaiming some harsh realities and truths. Elijah going to different kings and leaders, telling them of their fate if they do not repent and follow God. Elijah similarly going and proclaiming the good news of God. But I think there's a really unique difference between the two prophets. Elijah was more at the top, talking with the leadership, whereas Elijah was what I would like to call the people's prophet. He was there with the people. And one of the key things Elijah, I think, has to overcome in his taking over, is besides filling those big shoes of Elijah, because he was very well known, is maintaining and bringing that community together. Bringing it together, centered in God. Because throughout the land, Elijah's big challenge was battling the prophets of Baal, this false god that had started to infiltrate its way into the different kingdoms, into the world. They both came proclaiming God as the true God. And Elijah comes to be with the people. And he does this in many different ways. Elijah makes God's presence known through a variety of miracles and proclamations. He does this through some really fascinating ways and some troublesome ways also. But there's an instance where in this prominent city, there's bad water. The spring is bad. It's killing people. It's making them ill. It's causing infertility, stillbirths, all these terrible things. He asks for a bowl of salt, throws it into the spring, and the water is purified. There's another time where soup is being prepared, and someone accidentally cuts up a poisonous ingredient and inserts it in there. And Elisha throws a little flour in it, and the soup is consumable. There's a story of a woman who lost her husband to war, the war that was just ravaging throughout the countryside, and had a huge amount of debt and nothing except a little bottle of olive oil. Elijah says, "Borrow all the containers you can from your neighbors and fill them up." And she continues to fill and fill and fill and uses that oil to sell, to pay off her debt, but also to continue to live. Two different occasions, Elijah raises people from the dead, a young boy, and even in his death, when someone touches his bones, his brought back to life. He feeds a number of people with 20 loaves of bread. And these are more of the personal ways Elijah is with people. But as I said, he also was a key consultant to many kings who sought out what to do for God. There's one instance when, in the midst of drought, Elijah is called upon to provide water for the people. In doing so, this dried up creek or whatever it is becomes filled with water. The enemy sees it, thinks it's blood. They charge, thinking that they've massacred themselves, only to find out that it was water, and then they are overtaken and demolished. So what? What are the big deals? Why tell all these unique occurrences of Elijah? And while they're not entirely unique, I think the way Elijah goes about doing them is unique, because many of these miracles are very similar to Elijah and would be ones we hear very similarly of Jesus later on. He faces many challenges along the way. The God of Baal and overcoming those challenges. He's insulted by some children because of his bald head. There's challenges here and there. But nevertheless, Elijah makes God's presence known. And he does it his own way. Elijah is Elijah. Not Elijah. Rather, he is Elijah. And we have these own challenges in our own world. As we think about how can we be our own? How can you be you? There's these false gods throughout the world that try to get our attention, like a Diet Coke commercial. There's the false gods of our society that tells us we have to act and behave a certain way. There's the false gods of the church that tells us we have to pray and believe certain things. There's false gods in our society all over the place that are trying to shape and mold us and force us into something that God did not create us to be. In our Corinthians text, verse 4, it says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." Brothers and sisters, these are what these gods of the world aim to do. They distract us, sometimes unintentionally, but they distract us from the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This week marks the beginning of Lent, a season of intentionality. Now, there's a lot of baggage that typically comes with this season, as it's filled with guilt and shame and all these things we have to do to make ourselves right. But what if Lent was meant to be more? What if Lent was meant to be a season in which we can put aside these false gods and focus again on what is the main thing? That is, the glory that is our Lord and Savior. To put away these distractions, these things that create these veils between us and God, allowing us to grow closer, to connect, and to listen to God. To listen to God, who God has beautifully created each and every one of us, each and every one of you, to be. I think we see a little bit of this in our gospel lesson too. Peter, as it says, was terrified, suggests building these altars, these dwelling places for Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. You know, Peter is being Peter. And while I think that's important, God intervenes and says, "Yes, you be you, but go over here. Don't stay up here. My work is useless up here on top of this mountain. Go out in the people, be that rock, be that foundation in the church, spreading the good news of God." Elijah, His call story begins with very humble beginnings. A farm boy out in the middle, behind a team of oxen, plowing a field when Elijah comes to bless him for his mission. Elijah wasn't this great priest's son or anything, but rather he was a farm boy, somebody simple, somebody that answered the call of God, somebody that God used because of who he was to be the people's prophet, someone who is with them, amongst them, gathered with them to show, to proclaim, to bring about God's love, God's healing, God's grace. In my own life, I think of the many challenges I've faced in being me. As a young pastor, it's easy to compare myself to others who have been at this for a while, or even to listen throughout what the church has defined a pastor to be. But how does that honor me being me? It's also a challenge when I meet others. And having this grand theological education, I know everything about God, so I can help you know too. Yeah, that's a big farce. I don't think that. But it is tempting to take that knowledge, that know-how, and want to imprint that on others. But it's not about me. It's about you, too. Because each and every one of you has been touched by God, has been transformed by God in your own way. We all carry the image of the crucified and risen Lord. The goodness of God continues. It continues throughout all the world, despite what we hear and see in this worn, torn place. We see the goodness of God passing from generation to generation, as in from Elijah to Elijah, from you to those that you impact in your lives, to me, who I am here but a student also. And a lot of times we might be a little uneasy and see a difference that is unsettling, something that isn't quite what we remember or liked or were comfortable with. But can we see the image of God in that? Can we see the gift of God's love continuing from one generation to the next, even if it isn't exactly like we remember it? So, brothers and sisters, I invite you to be you, to love and accept others as they are, because that is who God created them to be, and that's who is God, how God continues to love them. Not because you can, as the Coke commercial states, but rather be you because that is who God created you to be. In the last verse of Corinthians, our passage today, verse 6, it says, For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We do not proclaim ourselves, brothers and sisters, but rather we shine the light, we proclaim that of the risen one. The light is given to each and every one of us, to those that we encounter. That is the light that shines. Thanks be to God. Amen.